our focus of our press conferences is going to shift, and we're going to start talking directly with your assistance to the citizens of the city so that we can give them messages in terms of where we go from here. So that will be our emphasis from this point on. We'll give some overview comments, but we have a lot of important information to provide more definition in terms of the process from this point on to provide to the citizens, and that's going to be our main area of focus. That's the city's main concern, is helping our residents recover as soon as possible. We are still involved in a search, rescue, and recovery effort. Fire Chief tells me that the sixth sweep of the city, the entire storm area, was completed last night, and we will continue spot searches as warranted. Once again, we will have spotters involved in the debris removal process as we go forward, and we will proceed with that with a process that we've outlined in the past. We're going to defer in terms of any update to the State Highway Patrol in terms of human remains and or deaths. They just had a press conference here recently. They provided numbers. We don't have a full grasp of those numbers, and we think it's better just not to make any comment with respect to that. The volunteers are still busy within the city of Joplin. We've given numbers in the past. I think the last number that we had was 2,323 volunteers that were registered in the city of Joplin as of Monday, May 30th. Tuesday, May 31st, we had 730 registered volunteers. And we don't have a count yet for today, but we do have people out working today. In terms of addressing the citizens of the city of Joplin, we've been busy with our partners from FEMA and other organizations to develop specific information to convey to the citizens. And I believe we are advancing that greatly here with the information we're providing here today. We still don't have every little detail determined because it's such a complicated and complex challenge that we're presented with. But I think we have a lot of specifics here that can help the citizens out in terms of the recovery process. First message I want to deliver to the citizens of the city: you're doing a great job. FEMA reports a high number of citizens, 7,156 households as of 9 a.m. this morning have registered with FEMA, which is a great number. I'd like to see that be 100%, and we're working towards that goal. But FEMA is very pleased, as is the city, with the high number of residents that have registered with FEMA. And once again, we're going to take the time to convey information in terms of how they go about doing that, because we've still got some that we need to sign up. 1-800-621-FEMA, 1-800-621-FEMA. In terms of the housing situation, the next step in the process for the citizens is that when a FEMA inspector calls you for an inspection of your property, that you need to arrange that meeting or return that call if you're not available as soon as possible. That's the first step in the process after registration, is that you will be getting a call for that inspection, and you need to get on that quickly. If you're not available and they leave a message, return that call as soon as possible, which will accelerate the process in terms of providing help to them. If you are eligible for assistance from FEMA, you will receive a rental housing assistance check within 5 to 7 days if you have direct deposit. That is, within 5 to 7 days if you have direct deposit, if you're eligible. If you're not set up for direct deposit, you will have a check mailed to you at your address of record, once again, if you are eligible. You are to use that money to find temporary housing within our area. And I'd like to take the time to present a map that FEMA handed out this morning at our meeting, which shows the radius of the area within Joplin, and we can make sure that the press has a copy of it. But this is a map which shows the rental units available within 55 miles of the city of Joplin. And according to their research, there's some 1,400 rental units available within a 55-mile radius. The according to the information that we have now, and I've been urged to stress the fact that these numbers are fluid and dynamic. They're not static. They go up and down and all kinds of changes, as you might expect, given the magnitude of the challenge that we're dealing with. According to the information provided once again at 9 a.m. this morning, there are 1,600 at this point in time households that do not have a permanent housing solution. And I'm told that's the 1,600 out of the 7,156 people that have registered. And that's an important number to keep in mind as we discuss the overall context of the problem. If you need help in finding rental units, let me back up. The process is set up where, with the assistance of the check that you're provided, if you're eligible, from FEMA, the hope is that you would make your arrangements in the rental units and do that privately with the person that owns the rental unit. If for some reason that doesn't work out, FEMA has been developing a database of different possibilities within that 55-mile range. And if you need help putting yourself together with a person that has a rental unit, FEMA is available for that assistance. If we refer back to the number of rental units within a 55-mile radius, you'll find out that, as I stated previously, currently there are 1,400 units within that 55-mile limit of the city of Joplin. And you can do the math on your own. If there's 1,600 households that don't have any permanent or intermediate solution in terms of housing, you take the 1,600 from the 1,400, you get an approximate, I underscore approximate, idea of people that might need a second tier of housing solution to their problem, to the challenge that we're facing. That is our next option, and that is manufactured housing. We've been having discussions with FEMA about the specifics on that solution for that second tier of people that need some kind of help that the first tier in terms of rental housing does not address. I'm told that FEMA, once we arrive at the point in time that a final number of manufactured housing units that we need is determined, that FEMA could have those units in place within 10 days once that number is determined. So as we said all along, there's going to have to be multiple solutions to the housing situation. And the first one are people that have worked with relatives or neighbors or friends in order to provide those solutions. The second tier is the rental units, and the third tier is manufactured housing. And obviously, until we work out the details of the rental units, we're not going to have a firm number on the manufactured housing. But I'm told that that process could very well move along very quickly once a determination is made of the need based on a resolution of the housing, the rental units situation. So that's taking shape, and we're pleased with the progress we're making on that aspect of the recovery. The next thing we'd like to talk about is the debris removal. And we've been working with them to come up with specifics to convey to the public in terms of how that's going to be addressed. And anyone that's run the field of the storm knows that that's kind of a daunting challenge, but one that we will overcome. So once again, I'm speaking directly to the citizens in terms of how this process is going to work and what we need from them in order to work with us and our friends from FEMA and everyone else that's volunteering for this effort to recover as soon as possible. Curbside debris pickup of storm debris begins today, and it begins in those sections of the city where the utilities have cleared those sections. The first and foremost concern is the safety of the workers and of the residents. So the utilities have to go in to the different sections of the storm damage area and clear those sections before the storm debris removal process takes place. As we've stated in the past, what you can do to help us, and I speak directly to the citizens, is get in there and get your personal belongings as quickly and as safely as you can so that that won't interrupt the process once it moves forward, because once it starts, as I said yesterday, it's going to move very quickly. Those that are handling debris on their own property, we urge the residents that are doing that to separate debris at the curb according to the guidelines that we published in the past, meaning we don't want one big pile. I think we've sent out information in the past on how that should be segregated at the curb, but that will very much facilitate the process if they do that. In order to initiate a full private property clearing process, meaning just not the stuff that's currently at the curb, we have to allow the insurance adjusters to get in there and do the adjustment analysis that they need to implement in order to move that process along. In addition, there's other planning things that require a little bit of delay in terms of getting deep into the properties off the curb and going ahead and effecting that debris cleanup. We anticipate that process, meaning the deeper area within the property being cleaned up, sometime in the middle of June. Before that can occur, three things must happen, and we need the help of the residents in order to do that. As I stated previously, the residents need to remove their personal property from the debris site. Secondly, the insurance adjusters, as I stated, need to get in there and do their work so we can clear the property for that to advance. And then thirdly, and I caution the residents at this point in time, we do not have these forms available yet, but they're going to have to complete a right of entry form to allow us permission to get on there with our friends from FEMA and the Corps of Engineers and the contractors to clean up the property. Once again, we do not have those forms at this point in time. The attorneys are reviewing them, and we'll make those available as soon as we possibly can. The city is currently working on a process with the State Insurance Commission to verify property adjusted by the insurance so we can keep track of what's been addressed and what hasn't been addressed so we don't get ahead of ourselves in that vein. And the city, as I've stated in the past, will have a community meeting in the not-too-distant future to explain every little detail of the debris removal from private property. And we hope to make that announcement shortly, and we want to have that as soon as possible, but we won't want to do that until we have all the answers, because there's still things that have yet to be determined. At the point in time that we have that meeting, we will have those forms available. So what we'll do is ask the residents to gather in a centralized location and come out. We will explain all the details of the program. And at that point in time, we will have the forms available to give them directly so we can expedite that process. Curbside debris removal will continue during the preparation for and removal of the private property debris, meaning everything that's at the curb, that process will take a life of its own and continue while we set up the entire property debris removal process. The city plans to augment the cleanup process by directing volunteers to areas that need attention. So there'll be a two-pronged effort in terms of property debris removal. We'll still have the volunteer help that we referred to earlier. We'll target them to augment the FEMA and the Army Corps of Engineers removal process. I think that's all we have right now in terms of the specifics. We appreciate the press's help in conveying that information to the public. This is the core information that they need to have in order to ensure the quickest and most efficient recovery process. And once the process starts in terms of the deeper property debris removal, it's going to go very, very quickly. And we'll have more specific information with respect to that when we have the community meeting. We've got some people behind us that know more about the process than I do. think that's all the information we have to convey right now. And as past this prologue, we will allow some questions at this point in time, and then these representatives will be available for individual questions after that. Do we have any questions? Anything at all? Go ahead. The question is, if someone's not available to respond to the request for a provision of information, how do they get help? This is Libby Turner from FEMA. She's been very helpful in terms of getting us to this point in time, and she can answer those specific questions. Libby?
In a situation like that, we're able to deal with that. That does happen. There is a registration deadline, but for a special situation like that, we can certainly work with that. Well, it would depend on the individual, but let's say the registration deadline passed and then they became able to register. We would handle that on a case-by-case basis, and most likely that registration would be allowed.
Anything else? Well, as I stated before, our main focus and our main concern in the city is addressing the needs of our residents and trying to get us to the point of recovery as soon as possible. So our efforts in the future will be geared to giving direct information to them. And as we've done in the past, we urge them to pay attention to the press releases and the press conferences because that's our means of communicating with them. And apparently it's been effective. If the number of registrants for the FEMA process is any indication, it seems to be working. So we would encourage them to continue to listen to the information we convey and to follow through on what we ask them to do in order to do their part to allow us to do our part to recover as soon as possible. Thank you very much.